Good evening, listeners. This is show 5 of Nick Elliott Podcasts. It's personal. And it's an evening gig tonight, and I'm joined by my great friend, Chris Moore. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Nick. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm a bit tired, and I've still got a bit of a git of a backache, but apart from that, I'm okay.
The last time you were here, you were crippled over.
I was.
You were? Yeah, you mean?
Yeah, bent as a Tory backbencher. I was.
You said that? I couldn't possibly comment.
How you been?
I've been very well, thank you. I've been through a creative phase, Nick.
Really?
Yes.
Tell us about it, man.
Well, I've been doing a bit of writing, you know, which is my thing. I like to do a bit of writing. And I've been quite creative, and I've put pen to paper on a number of occasions.
Oh, good.
And I'm quite pleased with it, to be quite honest, yeah.
What, a new piece of work? Or?
Yeah, I'd say I'm branching out a little bit now.
Really?
From the realms of what I would call normal poetry into the realms of experimental poetry.
Oh, yeah, mentioned that when we last spoke.
Which is a completely different genre. It's difficult to explain it, really, but it's just like a stream of consciousness. You know, if I write something down, I don't need a format.
Right, okay.
I can just put it down there, or I can chuck it away, or I can do whatever I like with it.
Because I know when I was here doing the show last time, after we come off air, you kind of showed me what you was actually working on, experimental stuff.
That's right.
And it involves a lot of design and different layouts and stuff, doesn't it? On the paper.
That's correct. It's not just a case of writing the words down. It's a case of how you present the words and what they look like and how they feel. You know,
we made it very visual as well, hadn't you?
It is a visual interpretation, which is, of course, where you come from.
Nick, yeah.
Because you're into the visual stuff. And there is a massive overlap, I think, between what you do, which is a photography and all the rest, and what I do, which is the written words.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think the thing does kind of run into each other. It's an art, Chris, isn't it? That's what it is.
It is an art. It's not a science at all.
No.
Because, you know, and I know, you cannot predict what's going to happen, can you?
No, not at all.
You might well go to a shoot. You haven't got a clue what's going to happen, have you, really?
Not on one of those, on a commission shoot, really. But, I mean, as you know, I've been working on a lot of conceptual art stuff over the recent 5 years. And that is literally what comes out of my head and my heart.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, Nick.
Oh, totally.
You know, whatever comes out of your consciousness is important, is what I feel. I don't know about you, but I have weird dreams. And I sometimes wake up, Nick, and I'm sweating and I'm panicked, but I write it down.
Really?
You know, I do.
Okay.
And then I look at them in the morning, in the cold light of day, and I think, what on earth was that all about? But it doesn't matter what it's all about.
I don't dream, actually.
You must do, Nick.
Well,
you must.
I know they say that you do.
You must.
But I'm never conscious of that, really. Most of my concepts come. That's usually first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Or something that I see visually will just prompt something.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll collect that kind of stuff up. Locations are very much like that. And I think, I was in Leicester at the weekend.
Well, somebody has to be.
Well, there's a lot of people in Leicester at the weekend. And there's some great locations there. And from seeing those things, I think, oh, I could do this, I could do that. And then the concept comes and it's really strange. But it's always from the heart, always.
Yeah. And that's the thing about being an artist. You know, somebody who goes towards their feelings and their attitudes and their beliefs rather than a scientist. Bless them, they have a place.
Yeah.
Bless them, they do. But I think really what matters is how you feel about a thing, how I feel about a thing, and how we react to what's going on around us.
Do you think this is a really deep thing, Chris? I mean, emotionally, spiritually, I know it is with me.
What do you mean deep?
I'm driven very much by the emotional side of it.
Mm.
So that could be love, hate, sexuality, passion, desire, whatever. And also from a spiritual point of view, I believe that most of my concepts actually come from above, from Jesus, you know.
Yes.
And that's not a religious thing. It's just that I'm a big, big believer in fate. And I've always been a believer in Jesus. I've always considered that I'm very, very attached and very close to Jesus. So, I've been since a small boy.
So do you attach yourself to Christianity or spirituality?
I attach myself to Jesus, I think. Whatever kind of title you'd put on that. It's a connection that I've always had. I don't know whether that's Christianity or whatever you'd call it. It's just something that I think there is a big connection, but it's more than that. It's an inner feeling.
Well, it's
to the fact of things that I'm kind of helped and told what to do.
Well, let's take it this way. You quote Jesus Christ, therefore that's Christian.
Okay.
Because that's the way it is.
Okay.
You know, Jesus Christ, Christian.
Yeah.
But you could probably apply to that Marxism. You could probably apply to that Buddhism. You could probably apply any other world religion you'd like to mention. To my idea of thinking, they all come from the same place.
Yeah, well, I agree. Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that obviously various different races and what have you. And I mean, I've got a lot of friends that are different nationalities, Italian, you know, Pakistan, Indian. I've got friends, very close friends that are Indian and that kind of stuff, Muslims or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and they worship who they're going to worship. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that at all. Like I say, it's not something, Chris, that I try to push on to people. It's just what I believe and what makes me work.
That's right.
You know?
And I agree with that. You know, my best friends, or I say amongst my best friends, I used to have people knock on the door here, and they were Jehovah's Witnesses.
All right.
Bless them. They said to me that normally people slam the door on them.
Mm.
But I think about that and I thought, why?
Mm.
Why? Let's listen to these guys. Let's hear what they got to say. I might not agree with it about their 500 people going up to heaven, 70,000 going to hell, or whatever they say. I might not agree with that. But I respect what they say.
Totally.
And I feel what they say and I get their sincerity.
Do you know, I don't think I've ever shut the door or not opened the door to a Jehovah's Witness. I've always given them the time of day.
Exactly.
You know, and I think not only is it damn rude, but, you know, people believe what they believe and you shouldn't necessarily knock that.
No.
Not at all.
That's absolutely right, Nick. Absolutely right. People have freedom. That's the whole idea of it.
Oh,
we have freedom of thought.
And of speech.
And freedom of speech.
And long may that remain.
Amen to that, Nick.
Definitely. Amen to that. In the UK, you know, dear, oh dear. Free press, free speech.
Yeah.
Christ, man. It is so, so important, that is.
It is. It is. And I think it's the basis of what we rely on in society.
Yeah, really. I agree. Do you think your poetry comes from an emotional place? Do you think it does or not?
Yes, is the answer to that. The very simple answer.
What do you think drives that?
A feeling that comes within me, Nick. You know, I can't sit down and say, today I'm going to write a poem.
No.
I can't do it.
No, I know what you mean.
I just cannot. I might want to. I might have somebody saying to me, Chris, you've got to produce this, that and the other by... No, it doesn't work like that.
No.
I can wake up in the morning and I can be inspired by perhaps what I've dreamt or what I'm feeling or anything of that nature. But I can't predict that. I can't put it in a diary. I can't say what's going to happen and what's going to happen.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, very difficult. You know, I have dry periods of where you just, it's there, the concepts are there, but you think, I'm just not right. I'm not in the right space, you know, to actually do some stuff. It's very strange. people struggle with that sometimes. They think, well, you know, why can't you just go out and take pictures? Fuck me, we don't do that.
Well, you can't do it.
No.
You can't, because you've got to have a feeling to be in the right place at the right time. It's like me with writing, you know. I can't produce something just like that.
No.
I've got to feel like I should go months and I don't write a thing.
Yeah.
Or if I do, I screw it up and chuck it
away. That's it. Yeah.
But I might pick that screwed up ball. I might pick it out the bin and have another look at it. I might.
Yeah, go back to it.
Before it goes into the recycled bin.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that. I park stuff. I park concepts and kind of think, well, no, that ain't really right. Or, you know, I'm not happy with the location. Not happy with the vibe or whatever. You know, and then I'll come back to it years later.
Exactly.
Years later.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you couldn't go into the Sistine Chapel and say to Michelangelo, you ain't going to get your finger at me, you know, can you?
No.
You know, 11 years, this is getting a bit fucking tiresome. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do, Nick. Now, there's a guy, he laid on his back and painted a ceiling, you know.
Yeah.
My God, how did he do that?
I don't dear know. Oh dear.
I've got a clue.
Mind you, it did work. It did do wonders for Dulux sales.
Well,
didn't
he must have done.
Hey,
yeah,
through the roof in Italy.
Oh, bless that dog. Hey, do you remember that dog? That Dulux dog?
Oh, the dog. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How cool was that? Eh?
We were talking about ads earlier on, weren't we? Because you like a cigar in the evening, don't you?
Yes, I do.
We went off down the Hamlet route, didn't we?
Oh, yes.
When advertising was very good.
And the guy who had that music, Bark on a... No, what was it? It was Air on a G-String by Bark.
I think it was.
And there he is, a balding chap, and he's got this long strain of hair.
Having his passport picture. Yeah.
And he pastes it over
his head. And his comb over. Yeah.
And they've got the music going, and it's absolutely marvellous.
Well, the ads were more entertaining than most of the mainstream programmes, weren't they? They really were.
Definitely.
You know, you sit there for the Carlsberg ones and the harp. And
yeah, forget the Coronation Street. You know, that's, come on, bring on
ads. Bring the ads on. Yeah. No, I used to love it, man. Well, I mean, a lot of my background, massive part of the background was advertising.
Yeah.
You know, and I know many of the guys that did some of those ads.
Really?
Yeah. You know, like the harp, Time for a Sharp Exit.
Yeah.
A friend of mine did that. The Carlsberg ones, the legendary Carlsberg ones. I bet he drinks Carlin Butt Abel and all that. Yeah, oh, that was Carlin Butt Abel, not Carlsberg.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Carlin Butt Abel.
Other brands are, of course, available.
Apparently so. But we were going to have a chat about school years. You mentioned school years, didn't you?
Just before the show started. I jotted some things down, Nick, and I thought, well, you know, what should we talk about? And I thought school days. I wrote it down on my bit of paper.
Yeah, bit of paper.
Bit of paper there.
Sound effect there, paper.
Sound effect, yeah.
Enters stage left.
Absolutely. And then I wrote school days down, and then I put in brackets school days, as in D-A-Z-E. Days.
And confused.
Dazed and confused.
Which is pretty much how I went through my school years. Yeah.
Good old Led Zeppelin.
Oh, totally.
So you went through your school days dazed and confused, did you?
Well, on the end of my report, the very last one that they gave you before, you know, you joined City Street, it was hummed his way through most of the school years. Which, to be honest, on reflection, I did.
You hummed your way.
I hummed my way through.
So when the poor teacher was standing up there telling you about the Corn Laws of 1832 or whatever, you were humming.
Yeah, I did a lot of humming in my school years.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really conscious about it until only a few years ago when that report came out, because I've still got the damn thing.
So have I. I've got mine.
Yeah, but I think yours was good.
No.
You know, and I looked through it and I thought, Christ, yeah, that's right. And I was then told that I still do hum through various different things.
Oh.
A lot.
Nothing wrong with humming.
No, not at all.
No, bees do it.
Yeah.
Well, my school days were lovely. I've got to admit this.
Really?
I loved them.
Did you love school?
I loved it to pieces.
Did you really?
Yeah. I was in this place where the primary school was there, the junior school was there, and the secondary school was there. within 100 yards.
Right, okay.
So
I just moved through the wall.
Unfortunately, I was labelled as a failure.
Were you really?
Because the 11 plus.
Oh, shit. I tell you, I sat for the 11 plus. The only bit I did was put my name at the top of the fucking paper.
Well, I didn't even know I was doing it.
Really?
It was that bad. You know, I didn't know I was doing an 11 plus exam. I thought it was a normal day. You know, do this, do that. No, it was 11 plus and I failed. So most of my friends went off to the grammar.
Right.
Some went off to the tech, which was an in-between school between grammar and secondary mod. I went to sec mod.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, those were the best days of my life.
Really?
Yeah, without a doubt.
I can remember my dad always telling me that your school days are the best days of your life.
Mm.
And I used to say, Dad, I hate the bloody thing. I hate it. You know, it wasn't the learning, because I learnt an awful lot of the stuff I was interested in.
Yeah.
I mean, it was massively important at that time. Right, okay, we'll carry on.
Yeah.
We had a slight intermission there. We got a young lady that walked around here with a little tray over on a strap around her neck.
Did we?
Yes.
Well, I didn't see her.
Offering ice creams and Gunnet Ripple on a stick.
Well, I never saw her.
Yeah, well, she came.
Well, I'm sure she did.
Didn't you see the torch?
I didn't.
Carry on. Anyway, that was our intermission, weren't it?
Yes, that was the intermission.
Let's go back to school days.
Yes. I was saying, wasn't I, that I enjoyed my school days. But the very first day at secondary school, Nick, my very first day, I went into the playground where you all meet up and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I was involved in a fight.
I had a few of them.
Yeah, but on my very first day.
Really?
Yeah, and I got hauled in to see the head teacher, and I was told of, and all the rest of it. Fast forward sort of 5 years on from there, it was a hoot. The whole thing was a massive laugh. I enjoyed my school days so much as a pupil.
Really? No, yeah. I mean, I can't remember many laughs, I've got to say.
Really?
You know, well, you see, at that time, I was swimming competitively. Competitively.
Difficult to say.
It is when you're dyslexic.
Yeah.
And so my days were very much training. It was all about music. It was all about art. That's what I did. I mean, you know, I didn't have girlfriends in school.
No.
I never had any of that shit.
No.
You know, I was too busy trying to make a mark, trying to get somewhere, you know.
Mm.
So, and it'd be straight home. That's it. I didn't do youth clubs and that kind of stuff and trying to cop off with a sort. I never bothered with any of that.
Well, we used to have a thing called extended day.
Oh, okay.
And it was marvellous. It was basically the school, you had your school day, and then about 6 o'clock in the evening, you had these clubs. And there was a film club I used to go to.
Oh, really? I bet that were good.
It was really, really, really good. And you saw the other side of the teachers, you know, the more socialising side of them. But then when I was a kid, it might be the same with you. I can remember calling my teachers by their Christian names. So,
no, I didn't,
morning
we didn't
Nigel,
do that. Stank,
I used to say. Bit of progressive education going on there.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Morning Nigel to the teacher.
Christ, no, we didn't have that stand ground. I mean, there was a couple that were, well, there was one particular guy, actually, I'll tell this story. In my last year, I didn't stay on and didn't do all that shit, you know. In my fourth year at school, Stangren introduced this policy that you could do a specialised subject, which you could then do on selective lessons. You had to have maths and you had to have RE, as it was then. But you could then do away with things like geography and history and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you could then do your specialised subject. Well, there was a pottery teacher there, a guy called Tim Rayner, that looked very much like Robin, whatever his name was, I forget what his name was, out of Man About the House.
Oh, yeah, Robin Asquith.
No, that
was another one.
Yeah. Richard O'Sullivan.
That was the guy who played him. Yeah,
that was the guy who played him.
Yeah.
And he looked very much like him. And he was quite a loose type of guy. Definitely a bit of a hippie. Used to wear the Afghan coat and all this.
So did I.
You know, well.
In a day gone by.
I didn't bother with that. but he was flares. He got loons on, you know, sand boots. And he was really cooking. And he was big time in the photography.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
And then he actually put this program together where you did full-time photography.
Yeah.
Which was right up my boulevard.
Yeah.
And we actually built a dark room and you'd print in the dark room. And then he introduced this like a school newspaper.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I think this was pretty much a kind of a pilot thing at the time. You know, this is going back a while. And used to go around and shoot, you know, photograph people, interview them and the rest of it for the paper. If you made the front page of this paper and the rest of it, it was a big gig. You know, and that guy was such an inspiration for me to carry on doing what I now do. You know, he was a brick in the wall, Chris. Another brick in the wall.
He
really was. And I've since, looking at doing my biography and doing the documentary and that story so far, I tried to track him down, but nobody seems to know what happened to the guy. There's no pictures, no nothing, which is a bit of a bloody shame. But, I would cite him as like I say, being one of the kind of milestones in my life outside my dad that actually got, he kind of brought it into reality. And, you know, and I'd started to photograph people in classrooms and it was all dog shit. You know, nothing was worth looking at. It was just rubbish. But, you know, it was that introduction to Christ Almighty, man, I can make this a career.
Exactly.
You know, it was that kind of illuminated moment. You know what I'm saying?
That's how I got into the teaching profession.
Was it?
Because one of my favourite teachers, bless him, Dr. Ray, if you're listening, Dr. Ray, good evening to you. And the man was an inspiration to me. He was a history teacher.
Right.
And he brought the subject alive to me.
At what school is this, Chris?
Oh, this is in Kent, Hugh Christie School.
Okay.
Hugh Christie Secondary Modern, 68 to 75, I was there.
Right.
And that guy was an inspiration to me. And it was because of him that I went into the teaching profession.
Really? What was the bit that kind of clinched the gig then with this?
The way that he brought history to life to me. And the way that he spoke about the subject and the way he brought it about, that's what did it for me, you know. Plus, I was very much influenced by the progressive education approach at that time.
Right.
Which I was very much part of, you know. I just loved it. The way you could approach your teachers with the Christian names and all the rest of it. Now, things have changed. You wouldn't dare do that now.
No, but I didn't. Stangrand School wasn't like that.
No,
it wasn't. It was Mr. Rayner, Mr. Gregory. Mm. That was what it was, you know. Mm. And most of them, you didn't even know the Christian names anyway.
No.
You know, not really. But school was a bit traumatic. Yeah, it was. It was. I was a trapped soul. But I think I've always been a trapped soul, Chris, if I'm honest.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, emotionally, creatively, mentally, I think, you know, school.
Well, do you have any good memories of school?
Yeah, I do. Again, Tim Rayner, that was the guy that was mentioning about without a shadow of a doubt. I had some very good friends at school, very good friends. But Stangrand was quite a rough school, you know, and it was... I won't say gang warfare, but it was in those days, you know, you didn't mix with girls. That was separated from the guys, you know. It was all that kind of vibe. Not like you get now, which I think is refreshing to see young people walking down the street. You know, you've got three or four guys and they've got a couple of girls there. Three or four girls, you know, and they're all interacting, which I think is really good.
I can remember going into lessons and the girls sat on one side. The boys sat on the other, and never the twain should mix. It just wouldn't happen that way.
No,
but I used to look across, just a wink, wink. And so, yes. And then they'd wink back. And, you know, it's something nice. And I can remember sixth form parties. Oh, my God, they'd be good.
No, you see, I went to a couple of school discos, but to be honest, they were just a bit of a yawn for me, you know.
Oh, you should have come to Hugh Christie.
Really?
Yeah. No, they were marvellous parties. I can remember them.
It just didn't really cook for me at all, that kind of thing. It didn't. Yeah. I didn't get involved in it at all. I mean, music was obviously such a massive part of my life at home, you know, and I never did the kind of boyfriend, girlfriend vibe thing.
No, I never did.
No, I never did. I was just too busy, just trying to find what I needed to switch everything on. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do know what you mean.
And I couldn't find it at school. No. You know, I really couldn't.
But I did. See, that's the difference. I did find it at school.
It's nice, isn't it, that? Yeah. It's nice.
And I can remember performing in school productions, Gilbert and Sullivan.
He was good. Gilbert, he did some good
both
singles.
Both of them were good. Bloke with the flat cap.
That's it, yeah.
No, Gilbert
and Sullivan.
Gilbert's thank you.
That's them two. Yeah.
Yes, that's them two. I was in the Mikado.
Were you really?
I was in the Parts of Penzance.
Nanky Poo.
Nanky Poo.
You can't Nanky whack Poo. A bit of that.
You can't, no. I was in the Chorus Line, and I was with this lovely, gorgeous lady, girl. I should say. Had the hots for her. But go on, 50-odd years, she's married, and she's got her family.
Right, okay.
But it was great fun, you know, that's what it was all about.
Yeah, no, it all kicked off for me, man, when I jumped ship, when I left. Yeah, that was sex, drugs, rock and roll.
So you left at 16? 15.
15.
Yeah. Well, I went on to A-levels and then to uni.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
then to teaching, God's
you
sake.
You moved education.
I went wrong, didn't I? Yeah. I don't think so, man.
I mean, look, you think about it, man. All the people that have gone through the school and that you'd taught, you had changed and influenced people's lives beyond recognition.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Well, it's right, isn't it?
Because you looked on
Mr. Ray
as
your inspiration, there was possibly somebody that you looked on Mr. Moore is exactly the same.
Well, it's nice to think, isn't it? It's a nice thought.
I think, to be honest, that is it's reality, isn't it? Yeah. It must have happened.
But now that I'm bringing in my pension, doesn't matter much, Nick.
No, not at all. But it's good to reflect on that kind of thing and think that you did actually leave a mark on this journey that you've done.
Yeah.
And I think that's good, man. I think you shouldn't...
I'm not dismissing it.
No, you should stop and think that, without a doubt, had gone on at some point in time.
Yeah. And, of course, what you've done has inspired many, many people.
Well, I'd like to think so. I mean, that's partly not to inspire other people, really. If it does that, I'm grateful. Mm. And I really are pleased about that. But for me, Chris, I do what I do because I need to do it, man. I need to do it.
Not from a financial point of view.
No.
But from your soul.
Oh, Christ, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, again, to go back, you know, I believe that it's a gift that, again, Jesus gave me, although it came through my mum and dad, but it's very driven from God, I think so. You know, you can't teach this. You can't teach this. It's like your poetry.
Yeah.
You can't teach people.
No, not at all.
Now, you can teach people to write a load of shit down in lines that makes an element of sense.
Yes.
But not to create artistic, emotional and moving pieces of work.
And it's like the images you portray as well. You know, like I came across one of yours on the interweb.
Yeah.
And it was a portrayal. It looked to me like a Jesus Christ picture.
Okay, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, Nick, I looked at it and I thought, my God, what an image that is.
Thank you, Chris.
And it hit me big time. It really did.
Well, that's one of the new project stuff that I've, the conceptual dark art. There's a, and when I say dark, it is dark, man. Mm. It really is, you know, on the other side of the wire. But that's one that is suitable to share on social media, if you want to kind of put it that way. Yeah. But it, again, that kind of thing is very inspired by my beliefs and I'm driven very much by emotion.
Yeah.
I speak from the heart. I write from the heart. I shoot from the heart.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I do.
And the other one that really, really got me was the image of you lying down next to one of these dolls.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought that encapsulates everything. That is really it. Because who knows who we're lying next to, really?
Well,
Who knows the other person?
If I could take the opportunity, Chris, to explain a bit of that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a concept that is, it's Nick and Delia's big day out.
Hmm.
And then I added to that a Nick, Amelia and Nick's big day out. And basically what it is, they're mannequins.
Hmm.
And these things are obviously produced. They are plastic or whatever it is, the material they're made of. But the concept behind it was that, you know, we live very much in, and I'll say a country because this is where I live. You could widen it to the world, but we live in a country very much where real is not recognised.
No, no.
And that everything is false. You don't know what's real. There is no quality with stuff. You have no idea where you are. You just, I don't personally, but the society just follows a pattern of, I call it blue jumper, red jumper.
Mm.
You know, he's got a blue jumper, I better get a blue jumper.
Yeah.
You know, and they got blue jumpers, so I better get another blue jumper. And it's all a case of following the masses. And individuality is no longer here.
Have you read the book by Edward de Bono called The Six Thinking Hats?
I can't say I have, Chris.
No, no.
I don't really go near books because of dyslexic side of things.
Okay.
But
explain. That sums up exactly what you're saying. People put on different hats on their head, their mentality, at different times of the day.
Yeah.
So they will react in one way or another way.
Yeah.
According to what's going on around them, none of them are sincere.
No,
or individual.
Although these people convince themselves that they are individuals, then they're not.
Exactly.
They're just the same as everybody else in the street.
Exactly. Exactly. And it sort of comes to me that's what it's come to, Nick. That's what it's come to.
Well, that's where the concept came from, and there's quite a few works in that particular project, you know, that depict that, and really the visual element of that, of you go into bed with a mannequin, we could say that could be termed as a perfect woman or guy.
It is,
because it's produced, isn't it?
It matches up to your expectations.
Totally.
Doesn't answer back.
No.
No questions.
No.
No problems. No answers.
No, not at all. And that is a concept that I think is very, very widespread in today's society. And it's something which I kick back against really, really strongly all the time.
You kick back about it?
I do.
Even though you photograph it?
Yeah, I photograph it to demonstrate it, to illustrate what I believe is going on. But I kick back against it because I've always been different, man. I've always been an individual, and I think you need to do that. Mm. You need to do that. Certainly in art, but in society you do. You know, you need to look different. You need to drive a different car. You need to have different views. You need a fucking attitude.
Yeah.
Which people ain't got in this country. They've got no attitude anymore.
No.
You know.
I'm with you.
I think the last time, I know we've spoken about this before off mic, you know, outside the shows, but the last time that happened really was punk rock.
Yeah.
You know, people are, it got to that point where people were totally pissed off with what was going on. Mm. And they then took it upon themselves to try and make, although most of the bands didn't because they weren't very good, but, you know, they tried to bring a change, a revolution, didn't they? Through a music...
Through the music media. Genre. Yeah.
That's how they did it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And that's probably right. You know, the way that music moves on is an important thing.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. Well, look at the stuff that's now being produced, okay? You know, you haven't got your classic bands, you haven't got your classic albums, your classic tracks. You know, this show actually has a title of Never Mind the Bollocks, We Tell It As It Is.
Exactly.
You know, which is obviously a lift from the Pistols.
Oh, bless them. Do you remember him? Oh, do you remember him on the old TV program Bill Grundy?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, totally.
But see, in those days, it was shocking. It was shocking. Today, people would blink an eye at it and wouldn't give a, you know.
But it needs more of that, Chris, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It needs more of those kind of people. I mean, I've spent a lot of time with Glenn Matlock, obviously former member of the Pistols. Yeah. You know, not there long. But, you know, Glenn is I won't say he's a troubled soul. He don't like to talk about the Pistols, that much I can say. But he's a clever guy. He's a clever guy. He wrote Anarchy.
Oh, you know, that was a song.
Yeah. And he, I think, he, I don't, I'm not too sure how long he was with them. Not that long. Not that long at all. I know he wrote Anarchy. I think he wrote another one of the singles, but I can't remember which one that was. Him and Lydon don't get on.
Really?
Categorically, no. No, categorically.
I wonder why that is.
Well, I don't know. I don't really know, but no. No, you never talk about Lydon.
Oh, right.
That's not advised. Oh. But, I mean, I come very close to doing some stuff with John Lydon, actually.
Yeah.
Which was last year, I think it was. Shooting some stuff for his new album. Because they're going out again. Pillar going out again in June. Oh. And it's quite a big tour. And he'd just come off a European tour. And his people got in contact with me about doing some stuff with him. And then I think his wife was taken really poorly because she died only the other day, didn't she? And the whole thing got shelved. I don't know whether the tour's still going ahead. I think the tour is, but it's quite a big tour. I think it may be another European tour, but it's a big UK tour. There's a lot of dates. If he goes out, obviously on the back of his poor wife dying.
Yeah.
You know, so it would have been good to spend some time with Lydon. I always had a lot of time for him, even when he was a Pistol. I did.
It seems like a nice guy to me. Yeah. Not that I've met him.
Well, he got something to say, but Chris, hasn't
he? His music is good.
Yeah.
It's good.
It is.
I've got the Pill albums.
Oh, have you got the Pill albums?
Yeah,
I only did Bollocks. I only did the Pistols Bollocks.
I've got them there. And they are good.
Yeah.
You know. And all that silliness, I should say.
Yeah.
Back it when he did the Bill Grundy interview. So, you know, so what? You know, it was a comment on the time, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
what it was all about, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember seeing it. But, no, it for me, man, it was refreshing. It was refreshing in the time.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Get stuck in, for fuck's sake, you know?
Because we've gone through all this sort of prog rock, which I love.
Oh, me too.
I've got to say, I love it.
Yeah.
In fact, today I was thinking about buying a Camel album.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
God, I saw that, man, in the day.
Really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. And there's another one I was going to buy, but I can't think of it right now. But, oh, yeah, those days of prog rock, I loved it.
Well, in saying that... I know you mentioned this, but obviously for people who listen to it don't know, I was out in Southern Ireland last year, did three tours with Simon Collins.
Yes.
Son of Phil.
Yeah.
And I worked on, I shot six videos out there with his co-writer and player, a guy called Kelly Nordstrom, amazing axe player, Canadian guy, that Simon's been doing some stuff with, and they've just released their first album called Architect.
Yeah.
And that is a prog rock album.
Wow.
But in saying that, it's prog rock, but with Slayer, Metallica, you know, Offspring, all chucked in, man.
Oh,
it's a real. He describes it as a conceptual album.
Yeah.
But the actual genre is pretty much to prog rock. Wow. But like I say, it's as hard as a bastard.
That's what you
need. It really is hard, you know. Yeah. And some fantastic playing, and it's a big album. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the sound's big. The tracks are big, you know, it's got a lot of intricacy in it and, you know, backing vocals and stuff like that, loops and the rest of it. It's a fantastic album. So check it out. The band's called E-Molecule.
E-Molecule.
Yeah. And the album is Architect and it's top draw. It really is. And I'm not saying that just because I worked on it.
Well, on that recommendation, I'm going to go out and buy it.
Well, I tell you, man, you will not be disappointed.
They're
doing a double vinyl.
Yeah.
It's a coloured vinyl.
Yeah.
I think they do a single vinyl. They've done, obviously, a CD, and you can get it on a download. But I tell you, Chris, it is seriously good. It's a fantastic piece of work. It really is.
Sounds absolutely brilliant.
Mm, it is. You'll love it a bit.
Right up my avenue, as
they say. Right up your boulevard.
Right up my street.
You'll love it as much as you love me.
I love you. I love you, darling.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Should we have babies together?
Not tonight. We're going to do another show. Then we'll talk about that a bit more later. Yeah. Anyway. I think we've probably been rattling on about nonsense for long enough, don't you?
It's been fantastic, Nick. I've enjoyed it.
It's been a lovely show.
It has
indeed. As it always is with you, Chris.
Always is.
It's a pleasure to have you on, man. It really is.
And it's a great pleasure to be with you, Nick. Thank you.
Good to spend time, Chris.
And you, mate.
Well, listeners, thanks ever so much. I'm going to say goodnight. I've been Chris Moore, and this has been...
Well, I've been Nick Elliott.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.